Good evening and welcome to the Victory Lane podcast. Today is Monday, November 9th, and this evening I have with me Jeff Hall from RMVR, Rocky Mountain Vintage Racing. Jeff is just recently back from their driver school, which they held quite successfully at Pikes Peak, and hopefully he's going to give us a little insight on how it went and what it takes to run a successful driving school. Good evening, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
How was the driver's school? Tell us about that.
Well, the driver's school was great. Originally, it was planned for April, but of course, that didn't happen because of the China flu. So we had to postpone it. We didn't really know when it was going to happen. We threw up a couple of dates, and finally a couple landed, and it ended up being in September during Labor Day, and we're kind of concerned about the Labor Day weekend because most people want to spend that with family and get out and go traveling. But because of the travel restrictions, it was kind of good for us because we had quite a few participants. And if everything had gone according to plan and people didn't cancel, we would have had almost 90 participants. We had, we ended up having 54 at the end. We had six cancellations right at the last minute, but all told, when all the numbers came in and all the registrants, that the one, including the ones that canceled, we had 90. So, you know, with the 30 some odd cancellations, I mean, that would have been way over the top, way over our expectations.
Well, it just shows that there really is a demand for a good vintage driving school. What does it cost to register for Rocky Mountains Driving School?
Well, for the we have two schools in one weekend. We have the competition school for full-out race cars, and then we have the precision school for street cars. This year, the cost for registration for the precision cars was $299. Or $300. And for the competition cars, it was $425.
I assume competition cars mean ones that'll pass tech, have a full roll cage, and everything necessary for competition.
Yeah, correct. Full roll cage, mostly with fuel cells. We do allow a couple cars, like Miatas, that don't have fuel cells to run in the competition group. But yeah, straight up, and most of them have logbooks, but that's not a requirement to have a logbook. As long as they pass our tech, they're good to go for the competition
school. And to do the competition school, do you need full driving equipment, suit, gloves, helmet, shoes, all the fire equipment and so on?
Yeah, well, the competition school, you've got to come prepared just like you would come prepared when you're driving in a race. So all the safety equipment, helmet, gloves, shoes, just like you said.
But the precision school, is that for street cars?
Yeah, the precision school is for street cars, for people who have we allow anything really but an SUV. And even, you know, the Jeep SRTs, we had a couple of those a few years ago. And of course, those are really fast. And we haven't had any pickup trucks, and of course, you know, no mommy missiles, no SUVs, but mostly street cars like Corvette, Camaros, Miatas. You know, it runs a gambit, so it's quite a diverse selection of cars that we allow into the precision group.
Okay, well, I won't show up next year with my tradesman van, so you're safe in that regard.
Yeah, well, you could help, like, volunteer with setting up cones and stuff.
I could shuttle people out. So
yeah, you could shuttle people out, right.
What about, give us a little rundown on the format. It's a two-day school, a three-day school, classroom, track. How does it work?
Yeah, it's a two-day school. We do have a meet and greet on Friday night where normally the students get to meet their instructors, but because of the social distancing requirements that we had this year, the instructors were not allowed into the classroom because the classroom was too small and we had so many students. So so the students were in there by themselves this year. So on Saturday and Sundays, as our 2 days that we have classroom, and then we have track time. So it's basically an hour or so in the classroom with the instructors, and then you have a couple track sessions of about 20, 25 minutes, so both Saturday and Sunday. So all told, during the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, you probably end up with about 4 hours of track time, which is quite a lot. And then on Sunday afternoon, we have two races. We have one for the precision school, and then we have one for the competition school. The competition school is a side-by-side start because they're full-out race cars and they have fuel cells and they have roll cages. But for the precision school, we just kind of like let them go and get to practice the skills that they learned in the last day and a half. And it's just so much fun to watch these guys. They're out there hanging it out.
So I assume that by the time the competition school is racing, that, you know, that's full passing and so on. Is the precision school full passing on the race?
Yeah, it's a point buy for the precision school.
Got it. Okay.
For the competition school, I mean, they start out point buy on Saturday, and then they eliminate that on Sunday, and then for the race on Sunday afternoon, it's a race. I mean, you get what you can get.
And how does the instruction work? Do I have somebody in car with me when I'm learning?
Well, normally it is an instructor in the car with the precision and the competition guys and girls, if there's a second seat. This year, because of the social distancing requirement, we mandated that it was up to the student and the instructor to have a conversation as to how they wanted to manage that. So if you wanted an instructor in the car, would you? Then both of you had to have full face helmets on and a mask. If you didn't want the instructor with you, then, of course, you know, there was no requirement for that. And most people, I think there's only like one or two, opted not to have the instructor in the car with them, both on the precision side and on the competition side.
They did then do lead and follow or something like that to begin with? And
yeah, we did lead and follow on Saturday. And then once the instructors and the student had a discussion as to the level of their prowess for driving, then the instructor would come out of the car and then go on top of the building at PPIR, which allows for full view of the entire track, which is really cool. Yeah, it's really, really cool. So the instructor can give a good critique to the driver once they come in, you know, whether they're hitting their apexes, their braking points, you know, passing, whatever they think they're doing well, and whatever they think that they need a little bit of brush up on. So however that they agreed to arrange it between themselves worked out well, because everybody had a great time. It was a great weekend.
That sounds like an ideal venue for attending a school.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, I mean, NASCAR used to run there. So that's where the spotters used to be, was on top of this building. And then, you know, they're up also on top of the suites, which is above the grandstands. And, you know, PPIR is also a great venue because it's so close to Fountain. It's actually in Fountain, Colorado. And it's really close to Colorado Springs, and the restaurants and the hotels that are there, you know, give us special deals because we have the driver school for rates and stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of good stuff about PPIR, and we plan on going back there until they don't want us to go back there, or we find someplace better. And I can't see that coming in the very near future.
It's very reasonably priced for the school, under $500. I'm going to get 4 hours of track time in total, one-on-one instruction if I wanted, or certainly full observation, as well as the classroom, the chalk talks, and so on like that. And I'm going to come out of the weekend having not only gotten some serious instruction on driving on a track, but also I'm going to practice the start and participate in a race with full passing. So that's a pretty complete experience at a really good price. And it sounds like the venue is ideal.
Yeah, I think, you've hit all the high points, and, it is ideal, and it is a good bang for the buck. And, we have good participation each year. Even like 4 years ago, we had snow, and we still had over 50 students, and we ran in the snow for the first couple hours, and then it cleared up, and the rest of the weekend was fantastic. And the people that hung with it were so happy that they did. And the ones that canceled were bummed because we had such a good time. Yeah.
And we should mention the reason you had snow was that the school is usually in the spring. It's not usually a fall school.
Yeah, correct. It was early April that year.
Give us a quick lap around PPIR. What would one experience in the car at PPIR?
Okay, so coming out of the hot pits right in front of the grandstand, the start-finish line, of course, you've got the blind road, and it's the old, you come out between the old NASCAR turn one and the back straightaway. So you get up on the high bank, and then you pick up speed on the high bank, and then you dive down into the infield into turn three. Turn three is a tight left-hander, and then there's a short dogleg and into turn four, which is a right-hander, and then you've got a series of S's that go through the infield, and then you've got a really hard left coming out of turn nine, which is the end of NASCAR turn four, onto the front stretch. Past the front start finish line, picking up speed because you're on a straightaway, in the NASCAR turn one, up the bank, down the back stretch between NASCAR turns one and turns two, and then you back down into the infield, and it's a fast track, and if you do it correctly, you can make a good lap probably in 35, 40 seconds. So it could be done. It could be done fast, and it could be done with a lot of fun.
Wow, that is a very quick circuit, around 35 or 40 seconds. To give people perspective here, your car is a Triumph GT6, right?
Yeah, I have a 1971 Triumph GT6 that I built from the ground up. It was, when I found it, it was sitting in the mud up in Elizabeth, Colorado, and been building it. Well, I built it back. I started building it back in 2012. And Total Precision Engines, Pete Christensen, built my engine for me. And great performer, middle of the pack kind of car. But then the driver, me, over revved the engine and kind of blew it up a couple of years ago. So now I have a street motor in there. Pete and I are building another motor for next year that will be hopefully a front-of-the-pack car if the driver is good enough to get it up there.
Right. Well, that's racing. You got to have the rider and the horse working together, right?
So correct, yeah.
But I thought it was important to say that when you're saying a lap under a minute, that you're not talking about a 700-horsepower NASCAR motor in a, this is in a very attainable car that a lot of people might be driving,
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yeah. Even me. Yeah.
Well, hey, not that you'd turn down 700 or 800 horsepower, right?
Well, that's true. I did get a chance this weekend to drive a Dodge Challenger, not a Demon, but the one just below a Demon. And I also got to drive a Z28 Camaro, which is both of them way over beyond my car. And that was just way over the top. That was so much fun.
These were street cars that people had bought they'd brought along to the precision school. Is that?
Yeah, just a couple of students. that had these cars, and they asked me if I wanted to drive, and of course I said yes. I'm not going to turn that down. And it was just so much fun. That happens all the time. I mean, people invite the instructors to drive their cars, even if they're not the instructor, for people just to see what their car will do. So it's pretty cool that happens.
Right. I would imagine, yeah, that a little bit of benchmarking would be very helpful.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Although I've ridden in a very, very small car driven by a very skilled person behind a big, high horsepower car driven by a less skilled person. And it is amazing how important skill is. It's a great equalizer.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I think I have to say, if you guys had planned it to happen this way, I don't think it could have worked out quite as well as it did. I mean, you picked a late date. You got perfect weather just before the first massive snowstorm rolled through, literally as the track closed almost. Be hard to call that up front, but it sounds like it was a great weekend and a very successful event for you.
Yeah, we were very fortunate for the weather. I mean, it was over 100 degrees during the race weekend. And like you said, we had a snowstorm just 2 days later where the temperature dropped over 80 degrees, which is crazy. And we got about four inches of snow. We were very fortunate in those terms and very fortunate to have the amount of instructors that we had, which were, I believe we had like 47 instructors and, 54 to 56 students, and the weather was perfect. So we couldn't ask for anything more.
Wow. There you go. So do we have a date for next year's school?
Well, we're kind of working on that now. We're going to try to have it in April once again. So it's usually the third weekend of April. Well, we haven't nailed those dates down yet, but people could just go on the Rocky Mountain Vintage Racing website, and that will be on the website come January 1st.
Well, as a shameless plug, I'd tell you that you should take out an advertisement in a particular vintage racing magazine, which I understand that the audience reads very closely looking for school information and so on. But, yes.
I wonder what magazine that is.
There we go. So hopefully next year you have a good spring date. Oregon, Washington, and California are all within trailering distance of the friendly Rockies, and it sounds like a great experience at a very attractive cost.
Yeah, and it is. We did have a couple of drivers come from Wisconsin.
Wow.
For this year's event, a couple from Texas and New Mexico. So people do come from around the country to attend our races because the word gets out from other people that we have a good event. It's affordable and it's fun, and you just learn a ton. So, yeah, the word does get out and people do come from afar.
Awesome. And do you have any events coming up?
The 19th and 20th of September, we're going to Pueblo Motorsports Park for our Thunder on the Arkansas, our Enduro race.
All right.
And then on the 10th and 11th of October, we're going to La Junta, which is an old B-29 training base down in Southern Colorado, for our last race of the season.
Sounds good. So you got two events left on the calendar. And I know that you guys in past years have run some signature events, especially there was a street race, and I think you were trying to work on putting something back together. Any news on that front for next year? Any exciting things people can look forward to?
Well, you can look forward to any of our races. Come to any of our races. They're all exciting. Well, our signature event is the Race Against Kids Cancer that we normally have the last weekend in July or the first weekend in August, where we raise money for the Morgan Adams Foundation, which is a cancer institute up here in Denver, and all the proceeds go to them. And we've raised over $1 million for them since we've been running the event.
which is huge because they buy machines, you know, to test cancer cells and different ways to beat cancer for, you know, the young kids that unfortunately get cancer. And we're still working on a street race in Estes Park in northern Colorado. So we're still working on that, and hopefully that comes to fruition next year. But, you know, who knows? We're just going to keep pushing and see what happens.
Well, you know, that's the nature of putting on events. You can't control a lot of things. City councils and the weather, they're both changeable.
Yes, they are, and you never know what you're going to get. So that's true.
At least you can't elect the weather, but you can re-elect the city council. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Roger, right? Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Congratulations on a very successful event.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It was successful, and I will be submitting an article to you. And I certainly appreciate you asking me to do this podcast. It was fun, and I hope it gets out to a lot of racers that want to come out and join us in the Front Range for next year's Rocky Mountain Vintage Racing Driver School.
Absolutely. We'll get the news out for you.